All right. So go ahead and open up to John chapter 18. What we're going to do today is I'm going to counsel you today by showing you how Jesus counseled somebody in the Bible. Have you ever had a failure in your life where in doing so you hurt people in the process? Have you ever said something that hurt somebody real badly and wished you could take the words back? Have you ever done something that because of what you've done, it had a domino effect on other people's lives? And because of that one thing you did, you hurt a whole bunch of people. And now you blame yourself because of that one bad decision that everybody else has ruined their lives because of what you did. And that's a thing that we're going to deal with today, real specific. Because there's a guy in the Bible named Peter who failed miserably. He betrayed his best friend. And he said some things, he did some things that he wished he could take back, and he lived in misery because of that. But throughout the process, we see how Jesus healed him. And it's amazing because we know what happened with Peter's life, right? He became an amazing preacher. He preached one of the best messages in the entire Bible in Acts chapter 2 after the Holy Spirit came upon him. Totally changed. But through this process, Jesus, if you've never seen this before, Jesus takes him to a place where he has to confront his issue. And a lot of times we blame ourselves for what we've done. Like, you know, if I didn't do that, or I can't believe I hurt my best friend, I'll never be their friend again, or we'll never be friends again. Or how about the word closure? Anybody hear the word closure? You know, you've done something to somebody, or there's something going on between the two of you, and the person dies, and you never get closure. You wish that you had a last minute just to say, forgive me, I'm sorry for hurting you. And you never get closure. Now you live the rest of your life with this regret, this hurt, this failure, this betrayal. And it eats us up, it consumes us, and it literally ruins our relationship with God. But when Jesus steps in, he changes everything. Amen? All right, so today I hope, my prayer is that you heal today. So John chapter 18, that's my goal, is that you heal. John chapter 18. We've been talking about this whole series about counseling, that Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He calls himself the wonderful counselor. And that counseling is scriptural, but like I said, a couple weeks ago, that I don't like counseling people because they just don't listen. But part of the process in counseling means to give advice. And unless you listen and take the advice, you'll never change. And it's amazing how Jesus deals with how he is the counselor and how he fixes us. So John chapter 18, God bless you, John chapter 18, verse 15, let's look at the story of Peter and when he denied Jesus three times. Remember Peter being the guy, I mean, he's the first guy Jesus picked, right? He's like Jesus' main man, he's always there, he's the inner circle. So John chapter 18, verse 15, it says, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest, and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Verse 17. Then a servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now, the Greek literally says that this girl, well, she was a young girl. She was just attending the door. That was her job, just to open a door like an usher. She was a young girl. And Jesus has just been brought into court. He's been betrayed by Judas, and he's brought into court. He's appearing before Caiaphas and Annas, the mob boss, a whole bunch of people through the night. He goes through six trials, and all Jesus needs is a friend. All Jesus needs is someone to be there with him, and his best friend, his BFF, His best buddy abandons him. The very last minute, he abandons him, and the girl who's holding the door open as Jesus is being brought into the court, as Jesus being, Peter stops and says, I don't know if I can go through with this. I don't know if I can tell them that I'm with him. And the little girl asks Peter, are you with him? And he says, no, I'm not with that guy. Think about how Peter's feeling right now. Think about, he just denied Jesus. He just betrayed him. Jesus just got thrown in. He betrayed. Judas gave him the kiss, the kiss of death. He gets dragged into court. Jesus is looking for his best friend who's walking with him, and then says, no, I can't go through with this. And he stops at the door. Says, no, I don't know that guy. Now you wonder, why is it? She's a little girl. What is she going to do to hurt you? She can't beat you up. Then it happens again. Verse 18. Now the servants and officers who made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. I want you to notice what Jesus, he doesn't give up his disciples. He doesn't say, yeah, that guy Peter, he lied to you. He's with me. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus says, all right, if you're not going to follow me, then there's nothing I can do about it. Verse 22, and when he said those things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, do you answer the high priest like that? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Then Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, therefore said to them, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? Peter has a chance to make it right. He has a chance to just be a man. And what does he do? I don't know. I don't know that guy. No. That must have been my twin brother. So guy looked like me. I don't know that guy. His best friend is being beat, struck, accused of things. All he needs is a friend, and his best friend, turns his back a second time. If I were Peter, man, I next time I'm not going to mess up. You ever been that way? Lord, give me one more chance. I'm not going to mess up next. I promise you. I won't deny you this time. Peter gets a third chance. Verse 26. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, didn't I see you in the garden with him? Then Peter denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Three times Peter denies Jesus. Three times he denies his best friend. Three times he betrays his very best friend. Jesus put so much stock into Peter, he's the first guy he picked. And three times his best friend denies him. Now, we don't see a word about Peter ever mentioned until 8 days after the crucifixion. Peter doesn't even show up to watch his friend die. It's John, his mother, Mary, and a few others. Peter has nothing to do with the crucifixion. You know why? He's a broken man. He's humiliated. He humiliated himself. He denied his best friend, and now he can't even show up at his funeral. He's so hurt. He's broken. He's totally broken. He's ashamed of himself. He's even thinking, possibly, if I would have stood up for him, maybe my friend wouldn't be dead. Maybe they wouldn't have killed him if I would have said something. Maybe if I just said, yes, he's not who you say you are. All he needed was one witness. Jesus went through that whole night, and not one of his friends stood up for him. And Peter's probably thinking, it's all my fault. It's all my fault he's being crucified. It's all my fault he's going through this. How many of you ever made a decision, whatever it is, and all of a sudden you see how it's affected this person and that person and that person and that person? And if you would only said the right thing, did the right thing, all these other things would not have hurt anybody. And all Peter's saying, like, oh, I can't believe what I did. And Peter can't even get closure because Jesus is dead. He can't even run up to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. He can't even get closure on it. Peter remains a totally broken man. John chapter 20. It's 21. Let's go to John chapter 21. It's 8 days later. Jesus is resurrected. He's appeared to many disciples. We don't know if he appeared to Peter because Peter's name is never mentioned. Remember, Jesus had more than just 12 disciples. It says at one point he appeared to the 11 and stuff like that, but we just don't know if Peter was there. It never mentions his name. He could have, but we don't know if he was really there. John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Ready? We're about to see the scene where Jesus appears to Peter. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two others of the disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you. And they all went out in the middle of the boat, and that night they caught nothing. So let me paint this picture for you. So it's 8 days later. There's no closure. Peter's a broken man. Ready? Peter spent 3 years with Jesus. He saw miracles. Jesus prophesied over him. Peter cut the guy's ear off and Jesus healed the guy, so there's no evidence for him to ever go to court, right? Because evidence is gone. Jesus took care of that. Jesus took care of everything. Jesus healed. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Peter watched Jesus walk on the water. Peter walked on the water. And 8 days, and when Jesus needed Peter the most, he was not there. Think about a person. And I know you have people in your life that when you need them the most, they're not there. What would you do? Disown them? Get rid of them? Never call them? Well, when I needed you the most, you weren't there. Don't ever call me again. You didn't show up when I needed you. I was there when you needed me, but you weren't there when I needed you. Peter is that guy who wasn't there when Jesus needed him the most. And he's a broken man, and guess what he does? I'm going fishing. I'm going back to my old life. Remember, Peter was a fisherman. That's all he knew. He's sitting by the boat, and he's saying, well, I guess I'll never get closure. I guess I'll never tell Jesus how sorry I am. I guess he'll never forgive me. I might as well just go back to my old life. Let me go hang out with the guys at night. Let me get on the boat. Hey guys, let's just go back to the way it used to be, guys. You know, let's go tell stupid jokes. Let's drink some beers and let's catch some fish. I'm not condoning drinking beers. You know what I'm saying? It's the whole thing of when a guy doesn't want to grow up and he wants to be a kid again. Well, let's just go do the stuff we used to do, guys. But you saw miracles. You were called to ministry, Peter. Jesus said, go be fishers of men. And what do? You go back to your old life. A lot of times, many of us, when we're broken, is we go back to our old life because we're afraid to face what we did. He went back to his old Let's just fish all night like we always do. Forget the wives. Let's just have a guy's, I need a guy's night out. Let's drink beer. Let's try and catch some fish. Guess what? They caught nothing. So not only was it going back to his old ways, but it was a total disappointment to him. He thought he would go back to the thrill of things, the way things used to be. Let's go back and have fun like we used to have before Jesus came and messed our life up. Let me tell you something. You can never go back once you've been touched by him. Once he touches your life, there is no turning back. And Peter tries so hard to go back, and they wake up the next morning, verse 4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Watch what Jesus says. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" The Greek literally says, in other translations say, "Catch any fish?" Now, Frank and I, where's Frank? Hey, Frank and I know how to catch fish, right? And so every time we go fishing, we went out yesterday morning for a couple of hours to catch some fish. And we went out and, you know, we always catch fish, right, Frank? We never get skunked. So we get off the docks and, of course, you know, there are other fishermen there. You know, their rods, they're cleaning their rods. And, you know, and I'm doing this with the bucket that because we have so many fish, right? And what is the first thing they say? Hey, catch any fish? It's what fishermen do. It's the question we ask. Hey, what'd you catch? You know, where did you catch them? What did you use for bait? So it wasn't, Jesus wasn't teasing him. Did Jesus know they caught no fish? Of course he did. He wasn't teasing him. Hey, catch any fish? No, it's just the typical, hey, catch any, he was trying to relate. Hey, catch any fish? Because that's what all fishermen do when they get back to the dock. Catch anything? And they said, no. And what did Jesus say? He says, hey, just try it off of the right side. Watch what he says. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. You'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because the multitude of fish. I want you to catch what happens next, how Jesus heals, how Jesus shows him, how Jesus takes care of him and forgives them. Ready? He says, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, this is John's book. Everybody knows John's book. John says it over and over again that he was the most beloved, from, that he was Jesus' best buddy. So when you said, when he says that, you know who he's talking about, right? Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and jumped into the sea. What did he do? Listen, it's probably his first time he sees Jesus after his resurrection. He's alive. What does he do? He dives in the water, swimming for the shore. Why? Because he wants to meet Jesus face to face and ask for his forgiveness. He wants closure. He wants to talk to him privately and say, Jesus, I'm sorry I denied you. He dives in the water. It literally, listen, there's stuff in here for a reason. He throws because he didn't have a shirt on. You know, us guys, when we get out there, we just, you know, we take everything off, get some sun while we're fishing, you know. Okay, that's why you don't want to be there. It's a guy's thing. Right, Frank? By the way, did I tell you about Frank, how he fishes? He's a two-fisted fisherman. He does two rods at the same time. If he had another hand, he'd be a three-fisted fisherman. You should have seen him yesterday morning. He's got one pulling this way, and he's like, oh! And we always do one big rod for the blues, the big ones. He's like, oh, I got him! And he's like this, and I'm like, you want help? So anyway, so watch what happens. Therefore, that disciple, verse 7, so Peter said, is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he roomed and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Ready? Watch this. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. You're missing a whole bunch of typology. I'm going to come back to it. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net, watch this, to the land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. That's a miracle. The miracle is this. Peter is dragging the net. He's pulling it on and it's not broken. Jesus is saying this, Peter, you're not broken. See, Peter is suffering because he's broken. He hurt Jesus. And Peter and Jesus is saying, look at the net, Peter. You're not broken. I love you. Watch how Jesus deals with him. Simon Peter went up, dragged the net to the land, full of large fish, 153. Although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to him, come and eat. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Ready? Jump back to verse... where was it? Jump back to verse 9. Watch this. Verse 9. I want to show you something. Then as soon as they come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there. Stop right there. Does that sound familiar? A fire of coals? Go to John 18. Go to John 18. Go to John 18. Verse 18. John 18, 18. Ready? Are you ready? Watch this. Now the servants and officers who made a fire of coals. Did you see that? Let me tell you this. In an entire New Testament, a fire of coals is only mentioned twice. When Peter denied him, and when Jesus appeared to Peter. Let me tell you what's happening. Jesus is reenacting the denial. Jesus is set the whole thing up so Peter can be healed. You see, Peter was not very, he didn't like to confront his issues. But Jesus is making him confront the issue. There was a coal of fire when he denied him. Guess what he does? He says, come here. The coal of fire instantly hits Peter. How many times there's triggers that we, buttons that, you know, remind us of a past shame or hurt. Right? Little buttons, little things. Oh man, like a color or a smell. But Jesus set the whole thing up. And he put a fire of coals. And he said, come here, Peter. Come and eat. It's not over yet. Now let me say this. Jesus is not being mean. But Jesus wants Peter to face what he did. Let me say this. There's a big difference here. He didn't just set up a fire of coals and he watched from a distance. Guess who's there with him? Jesus the healer. In other words, he's saying, come, let's do this again, and I'm here this time. I'll help you through it. Ready? How many times did Peter deny Jesus? John chapter 21. Ready? Watch the healing process. John chapter 21. John, I just messed up. John chapter 21. Ready? Are you ready to see the healing process? How Jesus heals? John chapter 21. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. Ready? Verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, okay, then feed my sheep. Number one. 16. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, the son of Jonah, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Tend to my sheep. She's like, okay, you denied me three times. I am giving you a second chance. Once, twice, ready? And he said to him a third time, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Peter denied him three times. Jesus gives him a chance to restore himself three times. at the coals of fire. But Jesus never says, "What did you do, Peter?" This is important. Jesus never throws it in his face. Jesus knows we fall short. And all he says, really, the reason why he's asking Peter is to reaffirm in Peter, "Listen, Peter, I know you love me, but I want you to hear it for yourself. Do you love me? Yes. Then feed. Do you love me? Yes. Third time, do you love me? Come on, Jesus, you know I love you." Now it's coming out of Peter. "Man, I fall short. I'm a sinner. Big deal. His grace is greater than my sin. His love is greater than my sin. And Jesus just proved he loves me." Peter is a healed man. That brokenness in the net is not broken, and in his heart he's no longer broken. Jesus never says, "Okay, get down on your knees and ask for forgiveness. All right, let's go, let's talk about this." He never asks him to talk about it. He never says, "Let's walk through this once again." He never says, all he says is, "Do you love me?" "Of course I do." "Do you love me?" "Of course I do." "Do you love me? Why are you asking me three times?" "Because you denied me three times. And I just want to make sure you heal properly." There are three things. There's a survey done. There are three things that every single person longs to hear. Three things that every single human longs to hear. You know what longs for? Desires to hear. Ready? Number one is, you should know this, "I love you." Number two is, "I forgive you." You want to know what the third one is? "Dinner is ready." I'm not joking. I am not joking. "Dinner's ready." That's the gospel message. For God so loved the world, Jesus hung on a cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And in Revelation 3, Jesus says, "Come and dine." He made breakfast. It's right there. He cooks for them. Let me say this. You don't sit down for dinner unless you've made amends. It's so important. Right? You ever hear somebody, "Hey, are they talking anymore?" "Well, I just saw them having dinner. Oh, things must be good." "He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Dinner is served. In other words, Jesus wants to sit down to dinner with you because there is nothing between us. He doesn't hate us. He says, "No, you're welcome at my table anytime." And guess what he did before he died? He says, "Let's have a last supper. Do this in remembrance of me." The Bible says this, that when we all get to heaven, when everything is all said and done, he said there's going to be a table stretched. And he says it'll be full of food, and he said, "Come and feast at the Lord's table." Why? You're only in. How many times you ever get invited, you don't get invited out to dinner, and you're like, "Well, why don't you invite me out to dinner?" You're only invited to a wedding, "Well, they don't like me." "Why, I can't sit at your table, it's the head table." Why? Because sitting at a table and having dinner with somebody means you're in fellowship. Jesus told, here's how he healed Peter. He said, "All right, Peter, let's replay this. Let's replay this. But I'm not going to throw it in your face, Peter." But he knew that the image of the coal hit him. Like, uh-oh. Jesus is going to rip me a new one. He's got me now. Man, I'm going to get it in front of all my friends. All right, I'm a man. Let's go, Jesus. Hit me. And what did he say? "Do you love me? Do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Because you know I love you. You know I've forgiven you. Let's eat some breakfast. Amen? Guess what? Peter was healed from that moment on. Became the greatest preacher in the Bible. Preached the best message ever. Oh, let me go to 2 Peter. 1 Peter real quick. Maybe, yes. If you've been broken, just know he's the healer. Verse 9, maybe it's 2 Peter. Maybe, let me see if I remembered it. Yes, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Ready? Verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. You know what he was saying? I was in a dark place. But when morning came, Jesus stood at the shore waiting for me. The morning star arose in his life. And he's repeating it right here. He says, listen, guys, I know it's dark for a season, but morning is coming, and Jesus will rise in your life, and he'll heal your broken heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Stand to your feet, please. The wonderful counselor in action. Isn't it amazing to see how Jesus did this? And now next time you guys see Michelle or Janice, you're like, all right, what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that you love me? Or next time you see a counselor, you're probably going to match him up to Jesus. Say, Jesus didn't tell me to do that. That's not what Jesus...